Now let's talk about how the legacy of colonialism has led to more conflict in Africa and has lowered living standards. Sub-Saharan Africa has had an above-average frequency of conflict since those countries achieved independence. That's been one reason why a lot of them have failed to develop more economically. Wars obviously lower the incentives to invest, they destroy wealth, and they make it harder for countries to implement value-enhancing reforms. But where do those wars come from? Let's consider one important factor. This is what African boundaries looked like just before colonization. If you're wondering, European colonization of Africa, most of it started in the 1880s, and that process was largely complete by the early 20th century. Anyway, before colonialism, what you see are a lot of very small units. These are not necessarily formal nations in the modern sense of that term, but they were agreements or conventions or boundaries which in some way were respected, and they correspond to different ethnic groups. Okay, so now colonialism comes along, and it imposes national boundaries on Africa. Of course, at first these national boundaries are within the colonial structure, but they remain in place after World War II, when the colonial powers start to leave Africa. You can see pretty clearly from this map that the borders imposed by the colonial powers very often have only tangential relationships to the distribution of economic groups. There are many nations in Africa, in fact most nations, which contain a large number of different ethnic groups. Many ethnic groups straddle two or more nations, and in general, when the national boundaries were set up by the colonial powers, they didn't really care about matching those boundaries to ethnic groups, because they thought Africa was simply theirs to rule, often for economic motives, and in many cases they didn't even know about all the different ethnic groups and where their boundaries might start or finish. So it was a mix of avarice and bad incentives and mere ignorance, but in any case the boundaries got drawn in fairly arbitrary ways, again, really not very closely matched up with the distribution of different ethnic groups. If you'd like some examples of ethnic groups which are distributed across two or more national boundaries in current Africa, well, here's a few of them, and of course you can Google these for more information. It turns out that having the boundaries drawn in these ways is very bad for peace. So one empirical result is that civil conflict tends to be concentrated in historical homelands of partitioned ethnicities. Perhaps most importantly, civil conflict intensity is 50% higher where partitioned ethnicities reside. That means if you have a region where ethnicities are split across multiple national borders, the fighting, when there is fighting, tends to be worse. In those same regions, on average, violence against civilians is 40% higher, and the chance of there being some kind of control change in government, such as a coup d'etat, well, that is 5 to 10% higher, and of course we're talking about changes which occur through fighting and not through elections. All of those results are based on a data set which is reporting over 43,000 conflict events from the years 1997 to 2010. If you'd like to see African conflict zones in the form of a map, you can study this picture here, which is color-coded. If you'd like to study where civil wars have occurred most frequently, you can study this map here, which is color-coded. And again, there are in general correlations between these conflicts and regions where ethnic groups are partitioned across different national borders. The implication is that there may well have been less conflict had the borders and the ethnicities matched up more closely. This shouldn't actually come as a major surprise. A lot of the histories of European violent conflicts, for instance, had something to do with ethnicities which were partitioned across national borders. Europe's World War I, for instance, had a good deal to do with the fact that national borders and the geographic distribution of different ethnic groups were not closely matched up. This was also one factor of many behind Europe's World War II. For instance, there were sizable German populations in countries other than Germany, and Germany tried to, in some way, take over or incorporate these Germanic populations. But of course, the countries that contained these Germanic populations did not always welcome the invasions or the incorporations. In any case, this was one of the reasons why European history has so much conflict in its past. In any case, all of these results are taken from a very good paper on the history of Africa called The Long-Run Effects of the Scramble for Africa. This is available online and for free.